You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Lester Graham. Now, we're going to talk about a classic story of what sounds like fiction, sounds like something in the movies. Powerful corporation wants to develop a large tract of pristine land. Local folks band together, persuade politicians, raise money, and save the land. Except this story is real, and it happened in Michigan. This new nonfiction book is out. Its title is Saving Arcadia, A Story of Conservation and Community in the Great Lakes. The author is Heather Shoemaker, and she joins us now. First of all, tell us where Arcadia Dunes is located.
Well, it's right along, as you'd expect, dunes right along Lake Michigan's coastline, and it's a little bit south of Frankfort.
Can you describe it and the nearby Greenpoint Dunes for us?
Oh, well, at first you have to sort of fall under this gaze of wonder because it brings awe. They're very, very tall sand dunes, and I like running down them with your hair kind of flying and just plunging down into Lake Michigan. But it's a pristine sugar sand beach at the bottom with Lake Michigan waves crashing around, and then a nice deserted sand dune that just towers above it. And then 6,000 acres of natural land and some farmland stretching around there. Greenpoint Dunes is sort of a bookend to Arcadia Dunes. They're two dunes that look at each other, and you can walk between them along the beach.
Now, people love nature for lots of reasons. Some love bird watching, some love hunting. You clearly love the unique and rare plants that grow in a place such as the Arcadia. Why are they important?
Well, so many of us love going out at different times of year to see what nature has to offer. But one thing that's very amazing about the sand dunes is that they have plant species and some animal species that that don't appear anywhere else on our planet. So they're called an endemic. They're a Great Lake species that lives just in this very narrow habitat, which not a lot of things can live on because the sand dunes, the sand is constantly blowing, and it's a harsh environment to live in. So the animals and plants that do make it their home have to have pretty good survival strategies.
Really adaptable, yeah. This land used to be owned by a lot of farm families back in the 1960s, but something came in and bought 6,000 acres. Who bought it and why?
Well, at first it was a big mystery. You know, somebody was going around, one man was going around knocking on all the farmers' doors, and everybody was speculating, who is this guy? They figured they had some big money behind him, but, you know, who was it and what was the big power behind him? It turned out to be the utility, Consumers Power, as it was called then. Now it's part of CMS Energy. And they were buying it originally to build a pump storage facility like the one they did build in Ludington. So what that is, it's flooding the land, and it had to be pretty high land, which is why they were attracted to the dune. So pouring that into a reservoir they were going to make, and then at times of peak energy demand, they would have released that water down into Lake Michigan and generating extra electricity. So the plan was to buy up this 6,000 acres, flood it, and use it for energy production.
And that's a big story in itself, but let's move on because I want to get to the fun stuff. But these CMS plans for the Lake Energy Scheme never came about. Then there was talk of resorts, big private residences, full-on development of the Arcadia Dunes. What happened to those plans?
Well, they were very close to being realized. But so many people during the time since this book spans a 40-year history. And during that 40 years when the land was not flooded and developed in various ways, it sat there rather empty. And people started to fall in love with it. So all the local folks would start hiking there or the camping, doing all sorts of things and getting to know it. So when the idea that it was really going to be developed, when this new plans came to have that be a serious threat, people were ready to rally for the land. And at the time, I worked for a land trust, the Grand Traverse Regional Land Conservancy up in Traverse City. And my job was to help preserve beautiful natural areas and turn them into protected land where people could hike and enjoy it and the species could continue to live their lives. So we decided to take on the daunting project of preserving this 6,000-acre tract of land.
I want to talk about some of these people. The way you describe the characters, the real people in your book, is through their idiosyncrasies rather than, you know, a summation of them. And I really like that. But all of those community members, they have that connection, as you mentioned, to the Arcadia Dunes. What did they first think about when Grand Traverse Regional Land Conservancy said they might buy the land?
Well, of course, there was a lot of secrecy at first because we were doing negotiations with the corporation, and we had to do that very quietly and, you know, in meeting rooms downstate and so on. So for a long time, we were busy working on it, and nobody knew. But there were a lot of hopes. There were a lot of hopes harbored on that land. The farm families, some of them the same ones who'd had to sell their land to consumers years and years ago, were still hoping to buy back their family home, family farms, and move back to the land. And it's a great orchard site for cherries and grapes and apples and so on. So they were all hoping to be able to buy it back again. And others were hoping that it wouldn't be developed so they can continue to visit it. But when we finally did spill the beans, there was a variety of reactions, some of horror that, oh, no, it's going to be developed, and people were really scared. They were scared sort of to the depths of their soul, and I think that's one reason why so many people rallied around to help preserve it. It was such a community effort where we had people from bakers to innkeepers to farmers to bank presidents. You know, everybody was pulling together, and what was wonderful is that with all those people pulling for it, you could have nearly an introduction to anybody you needed if you were trying to find money to raise or somebody to bend the governor's ear. There was somebody who could introduce you.
Raising the money to purchase the Arcadia Dunes was really complex. There were a lot of groups. There was government money, philanthropic money, private donations, a lot of moving parts. The Land Conservancy was really punching above its weight. I'm looking back, how did you folks actually manage to pull this off?
Yes, well, I think if we'd known just how impossible it was, we probably wouldn't have dared to start the project. It started by I was dreaming, looking at a bunch of maps and saying, wow, look at that big property. And of course, big is always good for land conservation. So I was just dreaming and thinking, well, let's try it. And my ally was Glenn Chown, who is the director of the Land Conservancy. And he just, you know, we caught fire together and said, let's try it. Of course, if we'd known what was involved, it probably wouldn't have started it. But it was so full of hope. It was such a campaign of audacious hope. And I think people realized that we were serious and we were passionate, but that we needed a lot of help. And they all came and rallied around, and we pulled it off by a miracle.
You note that the story of Arcadia Dunes really doesn't end, that obtaining Arcadia Dunes and Greenpoint Dunes was just a commencement. What do you mean by that?
Well, in the business of land protection, you can say that the day that the title transfers into your name is the day that you've preserved the land. But really, land continues on through time and space, and you do have to continue to take care of it. So just because the Conservancy owns a lot of that land now doesn't mean that it's safe. For example, nature preserves have to be loved over time and cared for. There can be timber trespass. There can be invasive species that come in and change the landscape. There can be illegal dumping. There can be climate change. There's so many things that can impact a landscape. And you need to continually groom the next set of people, the next set of stewards of the land, because human beings are only really here on this earth for a pretty short time, and we want the landscape to endure.
Are Arcadia Dunes and Greenpoint Dunes now open to the public, wide open? Can they go in, walk, hike, ski?
Yes. Greenpoint Dunes is just a couple miles north of Arcadia Dunes, and you can go and hike and be on that property. It's open to the public. And Arcadia Dunes is technically a larger landscape, so several thousand acres are open to the public for hiking and skiing and mountain biking and bird watching and everything, and hunting during certain seasons. But also some of the Arcadia Dunes land has been purposely transferred to private hands, and the land has been able to be returned to many of the same farm families that originally owned the land, and that's private land, so you're not allowed on that part. But it's subject to conservation restrictions, so there wouldn't be houses and buildings going up on that farmland.
But our orchards, I take it.
Yes, it's primarily orchards, some Christmas trees, some vineyards.
Mm-hmm. And that works well adjacent to the larger preserve?
You know, when you're preserving a smaller nature preserve, you can draw a line and say, here's nature, and we're going to make the boundary, and this is where you take your walk, and it's wild. And then you know, you have the rest of the world. But when you're trying to preserve something large like this is, when you're trying to preserve an entire landscape, you have to integrate people and economic livelihoods into the whole picture. And that's what made this project exciting, is that it's big enough that it's not just one part that's has a line around it and says this is a nature preserve. Part of it's a nature preserve, but part of it's a living landscape with farms on it.
I'm wondering what the local people think of what you've done.
Well, there's always a wide variety of opinion anytime you get a group of people together, and that's no different than farmers or any other group of people. But most people, the process we went through, I think, is very open and inclusive and respectful. And I was the one leading a lot of the interactions with the local neighbors. And what we found is that I invited their opinions and invited their expertise into the process. And so by drawing on a local knowledge, we were able to make it a lot stronger and a better conservation plan than we ever would without them. So my hope is that they are quite pleased living as part of the Arcadia Dunes landscape.
Heather Shoemaker is the author of the new book, Saving Arcadia, A Story of Conservation and Community in the Great Lakes. I got to tell you, I thought it was a really good read, and I'm glad you wrote it for us.
Thank you. Thanks very much.